race is a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
J.D. Vance, suddenly you start seeing the momentum with him after the assassination. Why? Because the deep state has so infiltrated our agency. Started with the FBI and the DOJ, right? Now it's every agency is full of cancer and disease. They have so infiltrated our agencies that you cannot count on the Secret Service to keep you alive. And you cannot count on, this is the most important part, that you can trust that the Secret Service wants to keep you alive. You cannot trust that. You cannot know that for certain in your bones. That is how infiltrated it is. It has become for Donald Trump a matter of life and death.
Terrorists wanted to hear the Terror Show weekday mornings on
News Talk
98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.
Do you remember when Donald Trump promised he would only pick the very best people? And that kind of didn't happen. He picked the very worst people. People who hated him, hated us. People whose interests were diametrically opposed to Main Street and very much in lockstep with the deep state. There were some good reasons he was kind of forced to pick some of those people. I'll get to those in a minute. But the good news is what the J.D. Vance pick signals is he's free now. Yep, that's what happens when you raise $500 million because Joe Biden fake indicted you. He's gotten that since May. And there's another reason he's free, too. I wouldn't be surprised if he pivoted and did this J.D. Vance pick just in the last couple of days. He's free because Elon Musk is now going to pony up $45 million a month through the end of the election. That's close to what Trump was raising a month last year when he was desperate. So Donald Trump is free now. And if you look at the other three vice presidential candidates that were in that pool, they all come with Bush money. Trump desperately needed that money. He was leaning toward them as high as the price would be because he needed that money. He's free now. He can pick whoever he wants. Here's the thing, okay? J.D. Vance is the best people. The best people that Trump promised us he was going to pick. And then Trump went to Washington, okay? And he listened. For some reason, this is an open secret in Washington, okay? He listened to Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
And Trump picked probably 80-85% of his picks were people who hate us and who hate Trump. You know, you're always going to get a fair shake on what reality is on this show. Well, here's what it is. He left the deep state stronger than he found it. He left an FBI director so bad that Biden reappointed him. That's a level of disaster we're talking here. Why? Lindsey Graham was sitting on Trump's shoulder making his picks. And I think, you know, Trump really felt like he didn't know Washington. He needed people who knew Washington. Trump knows Washington now. Trump knows Washington now. So if you looked at the whole field, right, the list of really 4 to 5, okay, every single one but J.D. Vance came from the bourgeois 20% of the party that supports Nikki Haley, deep state supporting, Republican backstabbing rhinos who are amnesty supporters or have a history of amnesty support or take money from that base. So on that list would be Rubio, original Gang of Eight, Tim Scott, who could not be bothered to go to the border until he was on the VP list. He has avoided the border. He has avoided immigration issues because he's an open part. He's an open border zealot, just like Nikki Haley. That's what, when your money comes from the Bush deep state, as Tim Scott's does, as Nikki Haley's does, that's who you are, okay? And that's who Trump had. That's the rest of the field. Doug Burgum also, his money comes out of that same Bush-Romney cabal. So, you know, it looked like J.D. Vance was sort of a nod to conservatives, but Trump was going to do what he does and listen to Lindsey Graham. He didn't. And you know who should be terrified this morning? I am pointing right in the video camera this morning, you folks in the deep state. Because you know what? Lindsey Graham doesn't have Trump's ear anymore. You're screwed. That's what this J.D. Vance pick means, Lee. They're screwed. He's not just going to talk about coming for them. while appointing them, like in his last term. That's why I broke with Donald Trump. That's why, you know, after being one of the first to support him, after writing a lot of checks to Donald Trump, over $1,000 my husband and I did. We're middle-class people. That's a lot of money to us. After all of that, appointment after appointment after appointment after appointment after appointment, deep state, deep state, deep state, deep state. They laughed at him. They laughed at us. They got so bold, they were censoring us when he was still in office. And they thought the party was going to continue. It is not going to continue. I love the Tucker Carlson tweet last night. Did you see the Tucker Carlson tweet last night?
I didn't see that one. What did you say?
Oh, it was good. Tucker Carlson says that Lindsey Graham worked hard. No one lobbied harder against J.D. Vance than Lindsey Graham did. And in the sleaziest, most vicious way, Tucker Carlson writes. So Lindsey Graham was in there. He was trying to get us a Gang of Eight pro-amnesty member. That would have been Rubio. A covert pro-amnesty open borders guy would have been Tim Scott. Burgum will do. Burgum spent his time raising money to take out conservatives in the primary in his state. That's why so much Bush money flowed into his coffers. Deep state would have loved any of those. They thought that's what they'd get. And what did they get? There is one marker on the Hill in Washington, D.C., of whether you are deep state or not. And it is a simple marker. If you are with them, if your fundraising base comes from that part of the Republican Party, you vote for Ukraine funding. You vote to continue the horror show the deep state has done there. The absolutely horrible things they're doing in the world. You vote for that. J.D. Vance not only didn't vote for that, he led the fight against it. They are freaking out this morning. Trump lead. This is what this means. It means a lot of things. I'm going to break it down because it's been taking me a whole show to break down what the Vance pick means. This is a total 90 degree angle for Trump. He has come to a point and he is headed in the opposite direction. I can't help but wonder if the assassination attempt wasn't the final straw for him and led to him picking J.D. Vance. Because the momentum really wasn't with Vance before. You could see that in the interviews and who was placed and who was out there and who was a surrogate, okay? J.D. Vance wasn't much of a surrogate in terms of appearances, right? You saw Rubio do his turn. You saw Burgum do his turn. You saw all of that. J.D. Vance, suddenly, you start seeing the momentum with him after the assassination. Why? Because, Lee, the deep state has so infiltrated our agency. Started with the FBI and the DOJ, right? Now it's every agency is full of cancer and disease. Mm-hmm. They have so infiltrated our agencies that you cannot count on the Secret Service to keep you alive. And you cannot count on, this is the most important part, that you can trust that the Secret Service wants to keep you alive. You cannot trust that. You cannot know that for certain in your bones. That is how infiltrated it is. It has become for Donald Trump a matter of life and death. When you find out the Secret Service pulled back from that Trump affair, from the rally, to send agents to guard Jill Biden, when you find out what I'm going to tell you in this show actually went on at that rally, 30 minutes. Do you realize the crowd watched him jump from roof to roof looking for the best spot?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you realize a guy pulled over the NBC News reporter who actually did an interview with him, shockingly, and said, listen, I got to tell you, I've been to other Pennsylvania Trump rallies. My daughter and I have. We never felt safe in our lives. You know, for as far as we could see on the rooftops, there were sniper teams, Lee, teams.
Yep.
And he said, the first thing I saw when I came here, I was shocked at the rooftops. Whole neighborhoods over here. Water tower over there. There's another one. It's a glass factory. Not a soul in sight. This was different and it felt wrong. And that is what the deep state has built with Donald Trump listening to Lindsey Graham. And Donald Trump slammed the door in Lindsey Graham's face with this, which means the deep state doesn't have access to him anymore. They can't control his picks anymore. You know what else is going on here? There's something else going on here. Do you see Mitch McConnell get booed? Mitch McConnell was the gatekeeper. Okay, so Lindsey Graham could go to Trump and say, listen, we're going to need you to pick this deep state hack. He promises he's going to like you this time. He promises he's really going to serve you. Oh, and by the way, if you say no, Mitch McConnell's going to block your picks.
So you best build the FBI that shiny new $100 million headquarters. That's how it's been. Well, Mitch McConnell's power is waning. And he can't block good Americans anymore, good Republicans anymore, because he's a whore and he's owned by the Chinese. Bad, bad dude, Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is as bad as Hunter Biden ever was. He just doesn't run around with whores and cocaine, and so it doesn't look as bad. But Mitch McConnell came in to office as a middle-class guy, and now is a family with a $200 million partnership with a Chinese shipping company. You tell me who owns Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell's power is waning. That means Lindsey Graham's power is waning, and J.D. Vance is ascendant. This pick said to the deep state, it ain't gonna be the way it was last time. I'm coming for all of you. We're not gonna fund your wars. We're not gonna put up with, hey, we're not gonna keep an account of where the money's going in Ukraine. We're not doing any of that anymore. We're done. It's war. That's what that pick meant. I never thought he'd make it because, Lee, my prediction was based on the past with Trump.
Yeah.
And disappointment after disappointment. I mean, his FBI directors got worse. His head of the Justice Department, it got worse and worse. The picks successively got worse as Lindsey Graham had Trump's ear more. This is the break with Lindsey Graham. And I'm telling you this morning, inside these deep state agencies, for the first time, there is real abject panic. And that makes me so happy. Just makes me so happy. We might actually fight instead of talking about fighting. And that is what that J.D. Vance pick means. Never mind, folks. This is not a typical Veep pick. Okay? Nobody knows. Nobody cares after the convention. Because Trump is only going to be a four-termer. He will be a lame duck when he takes office. J.D. Vance was just selected as the future of the party. And I like where that takes us. Folks, something is wrong, and I mean wrong. Feels wrong. Doesn't it feel it? Doesn't it feel wrong? Can you feel it? Something's wrong with what happened on Saturday with this Trump rally. Local news. Why am I not surprised the local television news in Pennsylvania broke this in Butler, PA, Channel 11 News, not the mainstream media? Because this is shocking. Alleged Trump shooter, this is a headline, spotted by law enforcement nearly 30 minutes before shots fired. Okay, that is a different story than the one the mainstream media is telling right now. Okay, they've caught where we were yesterday. Okay, they're up to, hey, the crowd warned them 86 seconds before. This is what the local news is reporting. Alleged Trump shooter spotted by law enforcement nearly 30 minutes before the shot. Let that sink in. Channel 11's Nicole Ford, this is in Butler, PA, local news, confirmed that Beaver County ESU team had 8 members at the rally, including snipers and spotters. One of them noticed a suspicious man on a roof near the rally at 5:45. Now, here's the crazy part. It was not the glass company roof he ultimately shot from. He was jumping from roof to get a good spot from which to kill the president. Ho-hum. Law enforcement kept calling in to the central. It says here, this really weird way it's reported that the law enforcement kept calling him in as a suspicious person and sending pictures. Calling in to who, they don't say. Are they calling Secret Service? Oh, I want to know that. Calling in. So this is kind of some poor reporting by a clearly inexperienced local reporter. According to multiple sources, a law enforcement officer had also previously seen crooks on the ground, called him in as a suspicious person with a picture prior to 5:45 p.m. This went on for half an hour. I want to know, call in to who, Nicole? Got to follow up with your story. You need a better editor. So he's so casual about the, you know, he's not worried. He's stopped. He's trying one roof. He's trying another roof. He's walking around the security area
with the gun. Folks, that chills my blood. Chills my blood. I want you to listen to this real quickly. This is a guy who pulled over an NBC News reporter and said, I got to tell you this. His name's Robert Philpott. And he said, listen, I've been to a Trump rally here in Pennsylvania before. And this one was weird. Listen.
Tell me the message you wanted me to understand, because there was something different about that rally versus this rally that you noticed.
Yeah, my daughter and I went, I guess it was 4 years ago, at the Butler Airport, not even 5 miles from here. It was an awe-inspiring event. We were just like, wow. But the one thing we noticed, we walked in there, and the one thing we noticed that the airport has a lot of hangars, buildings kind of like this, but they hold planes. Every rooftop of every hangar had 3, 4, 5 guys on top of it.
When you say guys, snipers? Law enforcement with long guns on top?
Long guns, okay. Yes. And even some of them in the sniper position. Just scanning everywhere. And my daughter turned to me.
To the point where you got there, you noticed them right away.
Immediately. It was the first thing she said to me. She goes, oh my gosh, Dad, look at this. She goes, I never felt so safe in my life. Those were her exact words.
This is 4 years ago in the rally by the airport.
Correct.
The other airport. Okay.
Right. So that was so much on our minds there that we talked about it for, I don't know, we just talked about it. We were like so awe-inspired by the, wow. First thing I did when I got here yesterday was I did a complete look around at every rooftop. And I said to myself, that's strange. I don't see one cop, sniper, nothing. I don't see anything. And I just thought, that was kind of weird.
Sure was. Kind of weird. Do you see this? New York Post. Neighbors living near Butler Farm Showgrounds told the Post they were never visited by any law enforcement agencies, local or federal, in the days during the rally or before the rally. No one contacted me. Nobody. Nobody called me. Nobody stopped here, said Valerie Fennell, whose house backs up to the fairground. There's another perfect rooftop. Did he try that one out? I kind of was thinking, as close as my house is, that I honestly thought this might be part of a command station at one point. Weird. And it wasn't just Fennell who wasn't contacted by law enforcement. She said her entire neighborhood was bafflingly left alone, despite their proximity to the rally grounds. Let me bottom line this for you, folks. They were begging for this. They were begging for this. I was talking to neighbors yesterday. None of them had gotten a call or anything, she said. She said, I guess it's kind of the same question everyone has, I guess, as far like why the area wasn't secure. The lapses continued into the rally. Listen to this. Attendees reported seeing 20-year-old Thomas Crooks acting suspiciously near rally metal detectors. With local law enforcement being notified, broadcasting warnings over their radios to, okay, they got this, they got it, to the Secret Service to be on the lookout. He also was reportedly seen with a rifle outside a security checkpoint. Are you kidding me? Why didn't a guy get on a float in a parade with an I'm gonna assassinate Trump sign? Maybe he shouldn't have, they'd have waved him in. I'm serious, folks, this stinks to high heaven. And the fact that Mayorkas and Biden are not doing an independent investigation, that they're putting the FBI and the Secret Service in charge of the investigation? Come on. Anyway, listen to this from the New York Post article. He was also reportedly seen with a rifle outside a security checkpoint to gain entrance into the rally and later spotted jumping roof to roof before settling on the AGR factory. So, folks, it wasn't just honest people in the crowd. It was law enforcement calling them in, calling them in, calling them into the Secret Service. And who finally comes face to face with Crooks? At 6:10 p.m., a local police officer climbs the ladder. Not the Secret Service, who by then has been told for a half an hour.
that he's out there with a gun. You tell me, folks. You tell me what's going through your mind right now. Text me. 71307 is the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. So many important developments overnight. I don't even know where to begin. I'm going to try to jam it all in. I may have to go straight through the show this morning. Normally, I will repeat myself for the late timers to show up around 8 because they'll text me. Why aren't you talking about it? I'm like, yeah, I did in the 6. I might have to go straight through today. I don't know. If I do that, you can always go back to the beginning of the show and listen on our site, 989WRD.com, or you can watch on my social media, Twitter, or on my Rumble account, at Tara Servatius, for both. Okay. Try to keep up today because this is an important day. This is one of those days you want to listen to the whole show. Elon Musk just pledged $45 million a month to one of the Trump PACs. A month. We don't have billionaire donors like that. The Democrats do. They're owned by their billionaires. Why did Elon Musk do that? Okay, let me just do a little history here with Elon Musk. He's not been a Trump supporter. Not even close. Remember, he personally hosted the launch of Ron DeSantis' campaign on X. He hadn't endorsed Trump till this weekend, Elon Musk. Now he's ponying up $45 million. Why? Well, Elon Musk told us himself this weekend. There is something unbelievable going on with Elon Musk. And if you're not on Twitter, now called X, to watch this, you need to get an account. Watch this go down. Because this is history right here. This is a battle, the final battle for free speech on earth, and you need a ringside seat. Because we lose this battle, it's over. But we're in it. We are in it thanks to Elon Musk. Okay, right now, the DOJ and the SEC, I've read you the articles before, I'm not going to do it again now, are trying to put Elon Musk in prison. The New York Post has reported that. Headline, Biden DOJ targeting of Elon Musk is intimidation pure and simple. They are at this point making stuff up as they did with Trump. They are trying new novel theories to put him in prison because they got to shut him up. Elon Musk was very clear this weekend in his tweets that he is in the same boat as Trump. That someone has tried to assassinate him twice in the last eight months. Elon Musk, put simply, is trying to survive his fight to gift the world free speech. Why is he giving Trump $45 million? Because he's bucking him up. Buddy, don't talk about fixing the deep state like you did last time. You're going to go in there and do it. And I'm going to make you with $45 million. He didn't trust Trump to do it before. He backed DeSantis. Musk needs Trump's protection desperately. Because let me tell you what happened over the weekend. And this is the best news I have ever seen in my life. Go look at Elon Musk's Twitter account. You can. You don't have to have a Twitter account yourself. You can go right in. Musk has designed it that way. You can go on Twitter, read what everybody's saying. You don't have to have an account. It's better if you do. Look at his tweets from this weekend. Hell, look at his tweets from last weekend. He's reporting all the stuff the mainstream media won't. You know, those tweets are averaging a bad one, 20 million. Typical, 80 to 100 million. The entire combined force of the mainstream media can't get that kind of view, those kind of views in a weekend. He can on one tweet. And what Musk has done is repeatedly tweeted a screenshot of the link to copy the address for his tweets. Why? So you can send them to people off Twitter. That's how he's racking those kinds of numbers. Elon Musk right now is more powerful than the entire liberal mainstream media combined. And that's why they're going to try to kill him. Who's they? I don't know. You tell me. Two people have tried in the last 8 months. He even told his shareholders he's doing his best to survive. They were asking about, can you survive? We need to know that if we're going to continue to invest. He said he's doing his best he can to survive. They're trying to kill him. And if they don't succeed in that, they're going to put him in prison. One way or another. So he needs Trump to buck up. Not just talk about defeating the deep state like last time. Do it. And that's what he's buying with his $45 million. Now, let me tell you what we're up against. I meant to get to this last week. Oh my gosh, this is important. Y'all don't understand what we're up against. The European Union has asserted the right for their liberal bureaucrats to censor anybody on Twitter
Or Musk and the others, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, will be fined 6% of their world revenues. If they continue to allow free speech by Americans, including by American politicians, they will be kicked off the continent and a wall erected, just like the digital wall around China, so that Twitter cannot commit. Right now, that's where we are. Understand that they are asserting the right not just to censor you and me and take down our tweets and posts, but American politicians' campaign ads, European censors, y'all. Let that sink in. And then I'm going to read you a tweet, and you're going to understand why Elon Musk needs this protection. Musk tweeted on July 12th, the European Commission offered X an illegal secret deal. If we quietly censored speech without telling anyone, they would not fine us. The other platforms accepted that deal. Who? That's Google. That's Instagram. That's Facebook. Got to be TikTok too. What does that mean? Republican politicians do not get to speak unless liberal European censors allow it. Dear God. Did you see any coverage of that? Because, wow, damn, that's big news. What are you telling me? The European Commission offered X an illegal secret deal to censor Americans from Europe? I thought we defeated the king. I guess we didn't, did we? That $45 million is protection money. That's buck up money. That's you will send somebody in to the FBI and clean it out. You will send somebody into the DOJ and shut these cases down against me. They're frivolous. You will send somebody in and make sure the SEC situation gets taken care of. They're trying to take Twitter from him. That is what they are doing. That was the whole point of the TikTok bill, which Trump opposed. What was the point of the TikTok bill? What does it say? Anyone who allows malign foreign influence can be forced to sell their platform. This was sold to us as targeting TikTok. Nah, it's about Musk. He needs Trump's protection. And we do too, in order to have the free speech to advance the agenda and survive this, folks. Do you understand? Free speech is dead on earth if something happens to Elon Musk. If one of these assassins gets him, and as he said this weekend, they've tried to kill me twice in the last 8 months. If he goes to prison, it's done. If the deep state strips him of his ability to run Twitter, thanks to the TikTok bill, he's done. But free speech dies. And it doesn't just die here. It dies in Pakistan. It dies in India. It dies everywhere. We're going to go into a dark, dark place. But I don't should get upset about that, because he's fighting. It is his gift to the world. In the time Elon Musk has taken over, I've never been able to get past 5,000 followers. Suddenly I'm growing. Suddenly we're all growing. All these conservative accounts, we're growing. We're allowed to reap the hits and the clicks that we earn. Our voices are growing, and the mainstream media is terrified. So is the deep state. They controlled us through the mainstream media. And the mainstream media is no longer as powerful as Elon Musk's Twitter account. Think about that. And let it send a shiver right up your spine. I'm going to play, by the way, some of the terror today by the mainstream media. They're very, very scared. So is the deep state. And that is a good thing. Y'all, this is yesterday was a devastating day at the convention for the left. Absolutely devastating. On so many levels, I don't think I can even cram it in for the rest of the show, but I'm going to try. Let's start with one of my favorite parts, the Teamsters, and what this historic moment means. I'll let Cheryl Cassoni explain it.
Seeing the head of the Teamster, Sean O'Brien, making that speech last night. Look, this is history, guys. And I want you to watch what he said and how he addressed the crowd last night in Milwaukee.
It's an honor to be the first Teamster in our 121-year history to address the Republican National Convention. Today, the Teamsters are here to say we are not beholden to anyone or any party. We will create an agenda and work with a bipartisan coalition ready to accomplish something real for the American worker.
Now, look, there are 1.3 million Teamsters. Those are the votes that are on the line here. Sean O'Brien, he didn't come out and endorse Donald Trump, but he has not endorsed President Biden. Now, if they don't endorse a candidate in this election cycle, that's the first time since 1996 that the Teamsters have not chosen a candidate. To be clear, this is a big blow for Joe Biden. They have always depended and relied and thought of the union membership as in their back pocket.
Yeah, this is a blow. An absolutely devastating. This is humiliating, okay? Are the Teamsters as big in terms of numbers as they used to be? No, because so much of our manufacturing has gone overseas thanks to the policies of people like George Bush and the Democrats. But then I repeat myself. So Donald Trump represents the only way forward for the Teamsters. Because in order for them to exist, there has to be manufacturing here. Look, do I like unions? No, I don't like unions. But there's a detente here. And let me tell you what it's over. Let me tell you what's over. Because right now, what's going on is the Chinese are building factories to build these cheap mini, and they're going to be crap, EV cars down in Mexico. Okay, this is what they paid off Hunter for. They're going to manufacture them down there in Mexico, ship them up here to Americans required by Joe Biden and the Democrats to buy them by 2027 to 2030, right? So we're going to have like 60% of the cars in the showroom going to be EVs. Cheap Chinese crap. And that's what Trump was talking about in Ohio when he said it's going to be a bloodbath. He was talking about the auto manufacturing industry is done. And you remember the Chinese businessman, Communist Party member, told CNBC, your auto industry's finished. It's done. It's finished. No, we're taking it. And we're going to manufacture your cars down in Mexico because Joe Biden says so with that executive order. And Trump called that a bloodbath. That's what he was referring to, a bloodbath. That's why the Teamsters are standing there. Because they won't say it, but they need Donald Trump to save them from Joe Biden, the Democrat Party, and the Chinese Communist Party, who are like this now. I'm going to explain all this in coming out. This is amazing.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.